for it.
You mean the state attorney's office or for the board?
No, the governor's office. And then she tells Detective Miller she forged the signatures. And then she goes into court with a third story of why she did it. First, she tells the governor's office she did it because of Deborah Pavira and to help a family. Then she comes and tells Detective Miller a different story. She did it, she didn't know why or something. She did it, whatever's in the police report. And then her lawyer went into the court and said she did it because she was afraid of her employer's repercussions. So we now, this woman's telling all kinds of stories to investigators.
And what am I supposed to do with that?
Up to you.
No, it's not, because you're telling me how what I am supposed to do. I did what I'm supposed to do.
I'm not telling you what you're supposed to do.
You have many times.
Okay.
You told me perjury. No, I'm asking you because you're accusing of things.
I didn't accuse you of
anything. I cannot make anybody tell me anything. It's against the law.
I didn't accuse you of anything. I said she made three separate statements.
She comes back into play again.
That's not for me to make a decision on.
False official statements isn't a crime?
No, not when you're a defendant.
You can make false official
statements. She can tell me lies all day if she wants.
Oh, okay.
Even as a notary?
She can tell me lies all day, because that's a violation of somebody's civil rights. If they do, she didn't have to talk to me. She could have told me, I don't want to say a word to
you. So making false statements in an official proceeding is perfectly legal. Okay, I get it. If you're a defendant.
Depending on if you're talking now criminal, civil, if it's an attorney, or a judge, should I say, versus me. People have lied to me for the last 15 years of my life.
Okay.
And it's my job to rifle through it the best that I can and pull out whatever the truth may or may not be, or bits and pieces.
Which document did he ask for? Surely. Oh.
You're looking for my bill.
And then Kimberly Moran comes in to sign the life insurance, and that claim, that fraudulent claim, which I think is criminal.
Okay, here's 15 documents received from Spolino.
Okay. Is there a way to forward those to me?
I can make a note and forward it to you later.
Okay.
Do you have the Michael Bell document there?
Since we have Kimberly Moran, who's already admitted the one part,
okay.
She then is part of the changes of the trust. She's part of the claim they make on the life insurance.
Okay.
And so now that we've got a total breach of trust for her in one document, how are we supposed to
case before a judge in a civil arrangement. I agree with you. You've got a great point.
That's how we got here. All of a sudden, you know, there's things in the court that are notarized that we didn't do that, and we're being withheld information.
I agree with you. That's up to the judge to say everything preceding now we're throwing out and starting anew. But that's up to a judge. But that's a good point.
Yep. That's civil. The judge has to decide on that. Yes.
If it was clerk.
If it was clerk. Okay, so that's where you know, Kimberly Moran, what she did is one thing, but the attorneys, Tesher and Spallina, took those forged documents and presented them in documents.
But how, see, and that's the thing. You guys are assuming now that because of, you're talking about the statements that she's already been charged with, the waiver of accounting form,
or all
documents in general?
All the documents that were submitted after Cy died.
Okay, so you're making the assumption that because she, we'll say forged and uttered, I see you're laughing, Elliot, but that statute doesn't
fit. Well, I feel
fit.
Like you're like attacking me. It's a laugh of intolerance to the attack. Laughing in it.
Okay, no, keep going.
Either way.
Okay. You feel threatened?
You can leave.
You're here voluntarily.
You can leave.
We appreciate the help. We're trying to get through this.
I feel like the guilty party here, you know, like I'm being attacked. So it's not like
very emotionally charged.
And this is
his family.
Emotional.
He's lost. I mean, we wouldn't be
did
here.
You ask, what did you
he hasn't
Michael
lost
Bell's
both of his
letter?
Parents.
Yes, sir. It did.
Three
okay.
years. Yeah.
Let me get that.
That's the true shame.
Either way, forgery and the uttering a fraudulent document into the courts statute, and I guess what she was essentially charged and convicted of are all a third degree felony. I used, in that case, uttering a fraudulent document into the courts. Why did I do that? Because forgery did not apply, because although she forged your name by tracing them, she did not, that I found, injure or defraud anyone.
Okay, that's her. I'm talking about
now. Just because that happened,
took those documents and
she
used
sent
them
in
the court.
She's well.
Well
okay,
the law firm
now them
to
being
them.
Used in the court. You're talking civil. Why? Because they are resting on the original documents that then were kicked back and then traced and notarized. Still went into the courts
by
okay?
Tesher and Spallina.
Okay.
Okay,
but that is civil.
And by the way, aren't they responsible for her acts holding
civil.
Under Florida law?
Civil.
Okay, civil.
Even criminal?
But,
civil.
Okay,
what about
so,
the criminal acts?
No.
Okay,
so if you told...
So I'm going back to, because they're attorneys and they're officers,
mm-hmm.
public servants or officers.
Who are?
The attorneys.
The public servants?
Well, they're,
yeah, they're
considered
officers
of the court.
But they're not a public servant such as myself.
Okay.
It's different.
When
so
the
government
court.
Is paying
an
me.
Officer
they're
the
working
court.
For their own company.
Okay, but they're...
That's the difference there.
But they're charged differently than if he or I put those in because they're attorneys. They
who
have,
says that?
Okay, here's the letter, Kim.
I thought I read that.
And it says...
the Michael Bell letter? What's it dated?
Hold on, I'm getting to...
You do
January 10th, 2014 says the autopsy was done at the Palm Beach ME office.
Mm-hmm.
All drugs are poisons when given in sufficient doses. You initially told police you were worried about your father getting too much of his medications. I didn't say that, but okay, he thinks that. The toxicology clearly shows that did not happen. There are thousands of drugs poisons, and therefore it's impossible to test for all of them. If you think you know what was given, then please share this information. I will do a heavy metal screen, which will take several weeks. So I'm still waiting.
Did you shared the information?
With who?
He says, if you think you know what was given.
Well, what I said to him back was basically, hey, these detectives showed up at my dad's house the morning he died, called in by my
mm-hmm.
brother, and there's allegations that people were switching pills.
Okay.
They bring down 30 pills. The officers never go into the house. My brother's controlling the whole thing. He called some lawyer.
Were you there? You were there.
I was there.
Okay.
He called some lawyer who got the sheriff's department involved.
Okay.
The sheriff show up. They bring down all these pills. They don't want to go into the house
mm-hmm.
and test, even though there's allegations this guy's been murdered.
Okay.
They bring down the pills. The officer takes one bottle of pills. Counts them out, says there were 96 pills or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I don't think he was murdered.
Okay.
Now, he didn't take into evidence all of the pills.
Okay.
He didn't even take the bottle he was claiming that proved that there was no murder And, you know, I was standing there going, well, aren't you going to take this into evidence? Aren't you going to, you know, we don't know what switching pills means. And are you going to test those pills to see if they've got arsenic in them, if they've got poison in them, if whatever? Okay. So I was kind of stunned. And then my brother came over and said, don't worry, this is just an intake. We're going to get into all that. We're going to get, they're going to, you know, definitely be investigating this and working with us to get into this. And I've sent several messages after that to my brother. And finally, months later, he denies that he's handling anything and says, Pam, my sister's now suddenly handling the coroner autopsy. And it should be noted that, you know, I mean, like hours after my dad's dead, my brother's on the phone with some lawyers.
Okay.
Ordering autopsies, even though the hospital is saying don't, even though, you know, the sheriff's department, I think, said don't. But he's hell-bent on framing this girl as murdering my father. And the fact that he controlled these investigations bothers me because he said he was going to be doing all these things. In fact, I even asked the coroner in these letters. My brother told us the body was shipped to Miami and we had to delay the funeral. Because it went down to Miami because he had to get a private autopsy. Now, I get from the coroner's office, the autopsy was done in Palm Beach and he had the body the next day.
Yeah. Back to the original question, did you communicate with Michael Bell which heavy metals you thought was introduced in your
family? I did. I told him I don't know. Meaning, I have no idea what...
So there was nothing that he could test for?
He's testing.
He replied back saying, I'm testing?
Yeah,
or
listen,
did he say, if you tell me what to test for, I will test for it?
If you think that you know what was given, then please share this information. I'll do a heavy metal screen, which will take several weeks.
Well, the way that reads to me is if you have something for him to go on, but maybe not. I don't know. That's the way it reads to me.
Well, I don't know. Well, either way, the fact that the Palm Beach County Sheriff's was told that somebody was poisoned,
okay,
and we're not running a poison screen, whatever that entails,
well, the ME
seems
does
to be...
That.
What?
The ME does that. And well, they did reports.
Okay, well, there seems to be a big mistake. Meaning if you thought somebody was poisoned and somebody was switching pills, you would normally take
into
evidence...
So you do or don't think that he was poisoned?
Oh, by the way... You're wrong on what you said, by the way. I want to read that statement clearly to you. It says, there are thousands of drugs, poisons, and parens, and therefore it's impossible to test for all of them, period.
Okay.
If you think you know what was given, then please share that information, period.
Okay.
Did you share that information?
I shared what I thought. He then, remember there's a period there, and this starts a new sentence.
Period noted.
I will do a heavy metal screen, which will take several weeks.
If taken out of context, taken as a whole with the letter flowing,
You read it as it was flowing, so
well, no,
that's how
he's
I took
got a
it.
Full statement here.
I don't parenthetically go through a letter and go, well, if this sentence doesn't flow with that, taken out
it's
of context.
It's a separate sentence.
It's a separate sentence. But
I
have to
will
read it
do
in
a heavy metal screen, which will take several
weeks.
We'll
clarify that with Michael Bell.
Okay. Well, I would assume he would have clarified it back to me when I wrote him my response back.
What was your response back?
You really want to read it? It'll take a while.
Is that what we're discussing?
Hello, Dr. Bell. Thank you for your reply and continued efforts on my behalf. And I'd like to clarify a few statements in your email below. First, I did not ever tell the police I was worried about my father getting too much of his medication or that he was being poisoned. These claims came from my brother, Theodore, and my father's assistant, Rachel Walker, who believed he was murdered by his companion and so stated to the police in the hospital the day my father died on September 13, 2012. In fact, I stated I did not believe my father was being poisoned by either over-medication or other poisons by his companion, Maritza Puccio, as evidenced in the police report. I reviewed the drug toxicology you provided and agree with your assessment of that. As for what poisons may have been used when the alleged, by others, switching of pills with pills of an unknown substance took place, and I agree with you that it could have been anything, and which is why I requested the police take all of his medications into evidence, but they did not. I'm not sure what a heavy metal screen is and what tests for, or what other poison screening tests are available. Could you please clarify that for me? Further, Did you review the records of my father in 8 weeks prior to his hospitalization, which may also have significant information and provide and further provide evidence of possible poisoning, as he was suddenly and unexpectedly suffering during that time from a wide range of symptoms in those weeks, and was taken to several of his doctors to evaluate, who were all perplexed, and this led to the brain scans at the hospitals, just days before his death. Did you get a chance to review the report on the brain scan done? I'm not sure, but it appears prudent ruling out foul play that these records be reviewed from all of his doctors during that time for information that could reveal what, if any, poisons were used based on the symptoms he was suffering and the battery of tests run on him concerning the problems. I'm not represented by an attorney in the matter, as there appears at this stage of inquiry no need to spend money on one, and so please continue to deal directly with me as Simon's son via email, or feel free to call me.
So you don't think there's an issue?
Of?
You just said you don't think there's an issue with poisoning or anything.
No, I said at that time.
Okay.
Now, with forgery and document forged and what else is coming in this investigation, which you haven't got yet, mm-hmm. there's a whole lot more coming. So for each step, by the way, it's going to come out one step at a time, one piece of evidence at a time. My father was a very smart man and took precautions because I think he felt that he might have been about to be murdered.
Did Dr. Bell respond back to that?
No, I'm waiting for the heavy metal screening. So
it's your understanding of his previous email that he is testing for heavy metals now?
Correct. His statement says, I will conduct a heavy metal screening, period. I mean, it's a separate statement.
Well, we always have to ask because you sometimes have talk in circles, so it's a little hard.
Was that a circle?
A little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go back to this, because Ted said he didn't do another autopsy, and he was, you know, just satisfied with what occurred.
What do you mean Ted didn't? Ted ordered that.
No, it never happened. He didn't order it, he says.
He was on the phone with him.
Okay, well,
this autopsy
goes back to a separate one.
Ordered this autopsy.
No, ordered this one.
That one. But I'm talking about a separate one. You guys, you referenced a separate one.
No. Let's be clear. I don't want to talk in circles, of course. I said that Ted said initially.
He was going to get a second one.
No. That he was ordering, that he was told by the hospital, no.
Okay.
He was told by the detectives, no, but he was ordering one.
Okay.
And that the body was shipped to Miami.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So who ordered this one?
He messed up then.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to the trust and wills.
Do you want to see the First Amendment here that you asked to see? Otherwise, I don't.
Oh, you're going to send that to
me. Okay, but did you want to see it for?
The one that went to.
See the language in that?
Your attorney, can't think.
Yeah.
Shades?
Yes, correct. First Amendment. Mm-hmm. To Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement. And
okay, yep.
It has the language about Ted and Pam, however, blah. And that's the language.
And that's the what was given to you.
Now, Don Tesher says he never knew about this document. He only knew about one that said he was taking out Matthew Logan from the thing. So he's claiming, which you know, certainly goes along with our thinking, that documents are being frauded into the court record here. Meaning, and here's the real doozy of Tesher's letter. You knew about that on January 13th when you sent these to Christine Yates.
I don't know that that's how it read.
No, maybe I misread it again.
In January of 2013, a First Amendment to the Shirley Bernstein Trust Agreement was provided to Christine Yates.
Right.
Okay. But he didn't say that he did that, correct?
He says he wasn't aware of that.
Okay. But just a second ago, you said that something you knew about, meaning Don Tesher.
So he says he didn't know about it.
Until recently.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I'm saying is they send off a document. Now, I'd like to give you another document to Pam's letter. that kind of throws that whole thing into a bunch of lies too.
Okay.
So supposedly there in 2008, now imagine this, in 2008, this First Amendment here, the second First Amendment or the first First Amendment, okay, however you want to look at it, is going to include back in
beneficiaries. Kids. Yeah.
But my question is, then why are we having this meeting in 2012 in May to include them back in? Now here's what's even more fascinating. In a letter written by my sister's attorney, she states, the attorney, please accept my apologies for my delay in sending you this letter. I meant to send it to you soon after we spoke about my discussions with your parents' estate planning attorney, Robert Splina. This was sent November 28, 2011 by Harayoud and Jenin, LTD, attorneys at law.
Okay.
I know that it came as a shock when I told you that I was informed by Mr. Spolina that you, Ted, and your respective family lines have not been provided for under your parents' estate plan, and that your other three siblings have been provided for. Therefore, I thought this follow-up letter was important. As you may recall, I wrote to Mr. Spolina to request copies of your mother's will, trust, and related financial information so that we can factor in a projected value of your remainder interest in your mother's trust and analyze whether we should make any revisions to your and Scooter's estate plan in light of your mother's passing. We followed up with him after not receiving the requested information. In the end, I received an email from him in which he wrote, please call me. During my discussions with Mr. Spleeney, he told me that you, Ted, and your family lines were treated as deceased under your mother's trust because you and Ted were active in the businesses and that each of you received a business as a gift from your parents. If you want me to go on, I can give you a copy of this, but that should get you the basic. If you knew they were cut back in through these documents, why are you telling somebody that you're cut out? Meaning you have a document.
Well,
supposedly
who knew?
If Spleen or Tesher had this second First Amendment, bringing it back
that,
in. And that's my sister's handwritten note to my father on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
this
my
is
dad's
where
notes
she...
writing all bullshit on it.
Okay. This came November 2011, but the changes happened in 2012, right? The alleged changes, the phone call.
Right, but according to this...
I'm just asking
okay,
you,
right,
you have to understand that you have your agenda, and I have mine, and you can't push yours upon me, okay?
The truth is my agenda.
Maybe,
okay?
And but mine,
likewise for you too.
Well, the truth of what I can get out of it. But our truths may be different. We may come up with a different ending because it's your family. It's your blood. You lived in it, okay? You have a more personal relationship with these people. So other things are going on. I don't have the emotional involvement at all, okay?
No, I know.
So that gives me the ability to sift through things to the best of my ability and look for a crime. Not something civil
gotcha.
That you need to take in front of the courts, but an actual crime.
Great.
Okay?
Yep.
And do you know what it takes for me to have that? I have to have probable cause.
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah. You're going to get a lot more of that over time, I promise.
Well, that's happened in Chicago.
Listen,
okay, that is all Chicago-based from what I understand.
What happened in Chicago?
This policy is out of Chicago.
No.
This policy, everybody else but you says that.
Well, that's because they put it into a civil court in Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
But so what? I mean, if I went to go steal your father's life insurance policy and I put it in a court in Timbuktu, does Timbuktu make the policy a Timbuktu policy? No.
What's
Timbuktu would accept the case if they didn't have jurisdiction.
Well, that was a... breach of contract.
I don't know if you've seen the case yet, but there's going to be a whole lot of questions about
Let's actually take a little break so everybody can get a drink, use the bathroom and stuff. We've been talking for an hour and 10 minutes. Okay?